Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star star RWCAT to learn more.
The Michael K. Show.
The first game of the first season of the Sam Darnold era.
Darnold played well, and I think you should be excited.
For my first throw in the NFL to be an interception.
Looks back to the left, fires one left sideline, and it's intercepted. Picked off down the sideline.
And then bounced back with the help of my teammates. Honestly, couldn't have been better.
Back to throw is Darnold. Looks over the middle. Fires one down the left sideline. Towards the end zone. Robbie Anderson. He's got it! That's a jet touchdown!
He didn't flinch. He didn't even blink. Obviously, we got it out of the way.
You want to just put that behind you and go play good football?
And he came back, and nobody flinched on the sideline. He came back and played well.
I think really the key was just letting the game come to me.
Darnold takes the snap, drops back, looks left, throws wide open, left flat, and no more. At the five! Spins into the end zone for a touchdown.
The Michael K. Show.
Your final once again. And I'm not making this score up. The Jets, 48-17. They take the Lions out on Monday Night Football.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. We've been talking about the Jets all day. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get, good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So really an impressive performance by everybody involved with the Jets, and had to be a great feeling for everybody involved. And now Todd Bowles is going to join us, as he does all year after the Jets games, and he joins us here on the show. What's up, Coach? How you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great now. I would say, now obviously we want to talk to you for a while, but there's probably not one complaint you have, so you're totally happy, right?
Of course not.
Really?
It's the first game. You make a lot of mistakes. I mean, we did a lot of good things, but there's a lot of things we need to clean up.
Like, well, give me an example.
Yeah.
Getting too excitable on the sidelines and people possibly taking their helmets off on the field where we can get penalties and those type of things. We need to have a better control of. Emotions is one thing, but we got to be better. We got to have better composure than that.
So when you know you have an emotional team, Coach, where it is obviously the first thing you thought of when Michael asked you what's the negative of yesterday, do you feel that this is a team that you have to tame down? You just scored 48 points. You had an amazing game. So do you worry that that excitability maybe can lead to a big head?
No, I don't. I don't try to tone them down. It's just them being excited. It's just knowing where they are on the field, knowing what time they have to do things during certain parts of the game is understandable, but the excitement part you don't tone down at all.
All right, now, I was wondering what you were thinking as I'm watching the game, and now I can ask you. So the first pass that Sam Darnold ever throws in a regular season game, it's a pick six. So tell me your immediate thought at that time as the ball is run into the end zone.
I actually started laughing because I said, well, that was interesting. I said, well, at least he's got the jitters out the way. At least it happened in the first quarter, not the fourth quarter. And then I said, okay, now you can settle down and play.
Did you ever have any fear, Coach, that it was going to affect him adversely, or do you know the type of person he is that it wouldn't?
No, I didn't think it would affect him any. I thought it would calm him down, if anything.
Now, the first instinct is, why would you give that kind of play right out of the box? But the overhead, Coach, looked like if it's executed properly, it would have worked, right? Did you see the same thing, that play, if properly executed, would have gone for big yardage?
Well, if executed, I mean, they played it well. And we were trying to win the game. We weren't going up there to play conservative and try to play close. So we had some plays dialed up that we wanted to run and make statements on, and that one didn't work.
When you named Sam the starting quarterback, was there any kind of trepidation, Coach, that the first game was against a team that was 9-7 last year inside a dome, which is always a tough place to play? Are those things that were on your list of concerns about naming a 21-year-old as your starter?
Not really. I mean, he went to USC. He's played in some big games and had some big crowds before, so that part didn't bother me at all. It was just the maturity of him learning the system and understanding what we do. I didn't really have a problem with the stadium and the crowd noise.
All right, defensively, You have to be thrilled. The big turnovers, five, you know, pick six. But you're hearing today, Darren Lee among them, saying that you guys worked and studied so hard, you saw the plays coming. Do you agree that, the defense was ahead of the game that way?
I don't think they were ahead of the game. I think they studied, you know, and they had keys and they read and they did their job. I don't think we knew what plays were coming. I think people were where they were supposed to be, and the plays ended up working out and they ended up making some plays by being anticipating certain things. I don't think they knew the plays that were coming.
It's interesting, though, that, you know, when a defense says that, that's a sign of being very well coached. Were you proud of your staff yesterday? Did they do everything that you wanted them to do?
I thought the coaches did a good job preparing these guys and working the last 2 weeks and getting them ready for the game and making sure they understand what was trying to happen to them. I thought they did a good job that way.
Back to the offense, you see during the game what Josh McCown means to the coaching staff and to Sam. I mean, how much of a coach is he on the sidelines, and how much of a help is he to you? He's more than just a backup, right?
Yeah, Josh is a great help. I mean, Josh is a great help, and he's a buffer when I can't get to Jeremy, and I can talk to him at certain things we talk about when Jeremy's busy, but me and Jeremy talk, and he's a great help to Sam as I get his view of what to see on the sideline and what he sees on the sideline when Sam's on the field, so it helps out a lot.
Was there concern, Coach, coming out of halftime, they go down and score and tie it? First of all, that drive, were you upset with the way your defense played? Second of all, were you concerned or curious about how your team was going to respond?
I knew we couldn't hold Stafford down for a long time. He gets paid a lot of money to make some plays, and he made some coming out of the second half. I wasn't worried about where we were. I was just worried about us finishing the ball game. So we got back after that, and those guys stepped up and made some plays, and that's something we were talking about and working on this spring and this summer, just about finishing, and they stepped up and did a good job after that.
And being better special teams-wise, it really showed in that game. What's some of the things that you did to make the special teams better?
Well, they played hard. Obviously, we got Roberts as a returner, and we got a sure-handed returner that can catch the ball and he can run with it some. And the guys did a good job up front blocking, and Boyer did a good job scheming these guys. You know, that's a dangerous special teams group right there. They were number one in a lot of categories.
There was one play that stood out for me that I scratched my head, and I wanted to get your take on it. Third and one and kind of a funky end around. Did you like that call?
I don't like any call that doesn't work. We had a lead, and then, you know, he took a shot at something that didn't work. So, lesson learned.
You said something earlier in the interview, Coach, that I wanted to expound on. You mentioned about that first play. Hey, we're going to be aggressive. We're not going to be conservative. I'm here to win. I want to try to win. But you've got a young quarterback, the youngest ever to start on opening day. So you want to win games, but you probably have to acknowledge the fact that he's going to make his share of mistakes too. So where do you draw the line of, hey, I'm out there to be aggressive and win the game, but I also want to make sure that I dial it down for this young quarterback so that mistake that he makes doesn't cost us a game?
Well, you don't dial it down. We know what he knows and what he can do. We were perfectly fine with the call. That mistake didn't cost us the game. It was just a bad throw, period. And that's going to happen at times throughout the course of the year. But we were more than confident enough that he was going to go in and try to win the game for us and gave us a great chance to win. So that part we didn't worry about.
I get it. But there might be some time during the course of the season where, hey, the play that's going to help us win might be something that he might not be able to handle. So how do you figure that out? It's still a lot to give a young player. So when you get to that line of growing the quarterback and not having to make a mistake but having to be aggressive, does that become any kind of a challenge?
It's give and take. I mean, we're not full bore ahead aggressive all the time, but we understand that within the game plan of the things he can do, the aggressiveness within that will come, and we don't have a problem with that part.
After the pick six, and we're talking with Todd Bowles, Jet head coach, his weekly spot on the Michael Kay Show, I believe that Sam went 16 for 20. And the numbers weren't eye-popping, but he managed the game beautifully, made important third-down throws. But I look at him, and after having watched him in college, I think there's a lot more there, that he could actually be so much better than that. Are you in agreement with that there is a lot more there?
Yeah, he's just scratching the surface. I mean, it was game one. He's going to learn something every game. I mean, good and bad, he's going to learn some things every game. That's just part of the maturation process. We're confident in a lot of things that he can do and get better at. And once he starts seeing things a lot quicker, I think he'll be outstanding.
With your win last night, Coach, 0-6, the new head coaches of the NFL in week one. And so you've been there before. Is that just coincidence, or is that a referendum on just how difficult it is for somebody that's a neophyte to step in there and win games in the NFL?
I mean, I think it's just coincidence. I've seen a lot of young head coaches come in and win, first-time head coaches. It was just the luck of the draw and the way it failed yesterday or the past 2 days.
And after Gruden's loss, it's 0-7 for first-year head coaches. I got to say this, Coach. I mean, we've talked to you for years. You seem very, very chill right now. You don't seem too up or too down. I got to tell you, Jet fans are giddy today. Was there any giddiness for Todd Bowles yesterday? I mean, that was an exhilarating victory.
We got in at about 3:15 a.m., so it's not calm and chill. It's probably tired. So.
But do you feel happy about the game? I mean, I know you said there's things we have to tighten up.
I was happy that the season got started off on the right way and that all three phases contributed in the win.
Now, can you celebrate with an Oreo?
Chips Ahoy.
I'm sorry.
No, it's too early. I'm trying to do better. I'm gonna be good right now.
All right, so let's talk about what Jet fans are feeling today. Do they have a right to be giddy? Do they have a right to feel that we finally found our quarterback of the future? Do they have a right to think that this could be a fun season? What's your take on all that?
They have a right to be giddy that we got the season started off the right way, and we won one game. We got 15 more, so we'll just take them a week at a time.
All right, you said you got in early, obviously short week. What are your first impressions of the Miami Dolphins?
Always tough and facing the divisional opponent. I think they run the ball outstanding. I think Tannehill's doing a great job at running their offense since coming back from his injury, and their defense has always been tough. So it's going to be a grind-out AFC battle.
What are you proudest of from yesterday? The way the defense played, the turnovers, scoring off turnovers, or the way your offense played?
Just the win period. I thought all three phases, I was proud of all three phases for the most part. I don't think I had one over the other.
Also, Anunua had a really good game. He had not been on the field for a long time. That's got to be a real big addition for this team.
He brings a lot of energy to our offense, and, you know, when he's in there, a lot of good things happen, so we're just happy to have him back.
And your running game was very vertical. They ran with emotion. They ran with power. Your thoughts on your running game?
Again, we grinded it out, you know, and we warmed down a little bit in the second half, and we broke a long one. So that's a credit to the offensive line and Coach Dennison and Coach Bates.
We have any update on Curse?
Not at this time.
So all in all, you're just tired, but inside you're just dancing with joy.
I'm happy we're not going 0-16. We're 1-0. Another game this week coming up.
Yeah, that's it, but he's doing it in an entertaining way.
Yes,
I could tell that he's happy.
Yeah, this is happy.
I think we've gotten to know you a little bit, Coach, that we can kind of see. You don't want to show it, but I can really tell that you're happy.
And on to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I'm very happy we won, but we're on to the next one.
Get some rest. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it.
All right. I'll tell you what. We talked about it earlier, Don. He's never going to show giddy. I don't think giddy is in his dictionary. But if you're a coach, other than the pick six, and there was one penalty where too many people
on
the field.
Yeah, sure.
What are you upset about? That you went into a hostile environment against a team that's not great, but certainly was a good team. Jim Caldwell got fired 9-7, so they thought that they're better than 9-7. And you didn't beat them. You took away their will to play. You embarrassed them.
Right.
How could you not be giddy if you're a Jet fan and if you're Todd Bowles?
But he's your typical coach, because if you lay an egg against Miami,
right,
now you lost to a divisional opponent. Remember, you beat a non-conference team. So if you're sitting there 1-1 with a loss in your division, everything goes away. So
right,
he can't get too giddy. He just talked about how excited his team was, and he had to, you know, make sure that that was controlled with the taking off the helmets and all that stuff. So he realized it's week to week. It can all change. I don't know how good the Lions are. I'll tell you what, they stunk.
They look terrible.
They didn't play well.
But they have a good quarterback that was completely neutered.
Listen, He was the highest paid quarterback in the league not too long ago.
This is a 4,000-yard-per-year quarterback.
No, I'm just – listen, if the Lions turn out to be a 5-11 football team, then we may look at that differently. The point is that he doesn't want to get too giddy, because if you lose on Sunday in a short week against the Dolphin team coming off a huge win themselves, then it goes away. So he can't afford to get too crazy. But 48-17, your young quarterback looked fantastic. You had a defense that turned over the Lions five times. The nation got a chance to see it. You know, you got to have a huge smile on your face.
Here's one of my worries, though. I wonder if you're thinking about it, too. So he talked about celebrating on the sidelines, stuff like that. This is a young team. They've got a lot of energy. They've got a lot of fire in them. You know, the Darren Lees and the Mays and the, everybody. This is a team that might, just might, start reading its press clippings before they play the Dolphins. That's a worry of mine with this team.
You heard. I asked him that. Yeah. I said, is that the concern? And he said, no, no, no. But, you know, if you're getting that crazy, well, if you think you're walking in and just beating the Dolphins because you're home, you get smacked down. I mean, this is a defense got a lot of confidence. They nicknamed themselves, right? So they really feel good about themselves. But divisional opponent, got to go out there and get the job done. Otherwise, 1-1 is going to look a lot different than 2-0 with a win in your division. So, hey, have fun with it, but short week against the Dolphin team that has always been a thorn in their side, especially after big wins.
How would you feel, Peter, if I had tickets to the Jet-Dolphin game to give away?
Are you kidding me? Jets are the hottest team in town.
Right.
I don't know if you were.
Hey, and it's the hottest show in town, so I would assume that we would have tickets to give away.
Well, you assume correctly.
Wow.
Both of you, yeah.
I'm shocked to hear that.
You could catch the Jets and Dolphins this Sunday, September 16th at 1 p.m. at MetLife Stadium for the regular season opener, which I think is going to be hopping. All fans in attendance are going to receive a free Jets flag courtesy of JetBlue, which should have been the name of the stadium. They should have gotten the naming rights to the stadium.
When you guys first told me that, your thoughts on that, which I hadn't heard before because I hang around ne'er-do-wells and dullards.
Right.
My head was blown.
Right.
My mind was exploded.
But Jet Blue Stadium, perfect.
You need them to part with a significant amount of money to get that done.
I get it.
And I'm wondering if the Giants would have had a problem with that.
With the word Jet in there.
Well, or just that they would be second. It would be Jet Blue.
Right.
I wonder if they would have a problem with that. But I guess if you write a high enough check, the Giants would have.
They're now considering Giants to Join Stadium. A lot of people don't know that.
But
new name.
Neither team really had a problem with it looking like a Venetian blind in the middle of a
parking lot. It's one of the worst new stadiums in the league.
You know what? I was at Safeco Field on Sunday, and right across the street from Safeco Field is Century Link.
Yeah.
Which used to be Quest Field. It's
beautiful.
Aesthetically,
I know. I want to go.
It makes MetLife look like a tough shed.
And then
a tough shed, like tough you shed. Get at Home Depot.
Yeah. And then you see Jerry's World, which
I love. Jerry's
a
World.
Work of art.
You went there too, right?
Yeah, from the outside, I've never been in.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
But anyway, the Jets are playing.
We digress.
There, so that beautifies it. So if you'd like to get tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com/NewYorkJets or /NYJets. But if you don't want to buy them, if you don't have the money,
no.
We've got four tickets to give away.
Four.
Two. Oh, wait, that's a whole family.
Yeah, that's a whole family.
Did I mention they're the hottest team in town?
By the way, what was the score yesterday?
48-17.
Would it be wrong to say the 48th caller? Would that be wrong to do to the guy?
Hey, listen, we only worked a half day yesterday, so I'm
going to Yeah, here's what I'm going to do.
How about 17?
First win. The first caller.
Oh, my God.
You're such lazy.
How about
4 plus 8 is 12?
First caller, 1-800-919-3776, and you're going.
I love this guy.
You're going. And by the way, we said it earlier, and I think it bears repeating, not only did the Jets win, but Peter won. That was Peter's fourth pick, and he's 4-0. The season's over.
You deserve to have more of a two-game lead, though, because we both came up big in the late game.
Yeah, we really
Although
did.
We sweated that one out.
You guys ended up 2-2?
2-2,
yeah.
That's right.
And by the way, stealing money. And stealing money picking the Rams yesterday.
We're not tied at 13, though.
Stealing money the way it turned out.
No, I'm going to tell you.
And also not the first drive of the game where
seven.
Beast mode like moves it was, the city.
I checked out last night. I watched the Jets game and then after that had to do some other stuff and watched the beginning of the game. And I went, oh, Don, what an idiot. They got so excited about the
stealing
Raiders.
Money.
That line stunk for a reason. And the interesting part is Vegas got the first half right. The Rams refused to play along for the whole game. That was right. They had this energy in the building that was sort of like what we were talking about with RJ last week. Not RJ Santillo,
RJ Bell. Yeah.
About like, well, you never know, Gruden, the energy. And I said, oh, Don, they just got this completely wrong. And then I wake up and the Rams became the Rams. Aaron Donald and company said, yeah, not so much.
All right. Now coming up, a very interesting interview. Now, first of all, we want to hear from Greeny about what he thinks about his Jets. I mean, I was reading his tweets. Giddy is what Greeny was.
I don't know if I can hear
it. He'll be hosed down.
But he's actually hosting a show today on ESPN television. A 90-minute program about sports after 9/11. So,
I would like to see that.
Yeah, I know he's really proud of it. It's something that he has wanted to do for a while, and he got the green light from ESPN, and it's supposedly a great show. It'll be at 7 o'clock tonight. So we'll talk to Mike about that. That's
great.
Coming up in just a moment. So a fun day so far on the show. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg, a giddy Todd Bowles. Would you say giddy?
Very much so.
That's
for him,
that's eating cookies galore.
Oh, wow. Anyway, it's all coming up right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Don't miss the guys weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN and on the Listen tab of the ESPN app.